SARS Lus.
I anticipate a deeply religious experience.
Broadcasting live across the greatest country in the world on the Westwood One Radio Network. Here's Lus.
Since the inception of the Iraq War, I'd like to know the approximate total of Iraqis who have been killed, and by Iraqis, I include civilians, military, police, insurgents, translators.
How many Iraqi citizens have died in this war? I would say 30,000, more or less, have died as a result of the initial incursion and the ongoing violence against Iraqis. We've lost about 2,140 of our own troops in Iraq.
Welcome to the Lars Larson Show. That was the President of the United States in an exchange with a reporter. And I'm sorry that I can't credit her by name, but I'll tell you what, that comment by the President, the full question I wanted you to hear, that she was saying, how many people have died, including civilians, military in Iraq, police, translators, etc. And the president says 30,000. So what do all the headlines say? President George W. Bush finally clears the air by admitting 30,000 civilians have died. Now, if your neighborhood newspaper said that today, I'd say that that's a bald-faced lie by your local fish wrapper newspaper. But that's just my point of view. We're going to talk about Iraq a bit, about what's going on there, about what's going on here, and about what's going on in between the two countries. And to do that, we thought we'd invite on Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Brad, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Lars. How are you, my friend?
Just great. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Oh, and happy Hanukkah to you.
See, now that's the way it should work. None of this happy holidays nonsense that, you know, sort of iffy. It's almost like, you know, it's like trying to figure out John Murtha's position on Iraq.
Well, you know what holidays stands for, don't you?
Holy days.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly never insulted when anyone wishes me a happy holy day.
Very good. You know, it's just I don't like this holiday tree nonsense where... What other holiday is celebrated with a tree other than Arbor Day?
Well, I don't know. I know that it's a pagan tradition in the first place, is my understanding. Now, I'm no...
Not for the last Christian. Couple of centuries.
I'm no Christian, but I you know, as a conservative, I'm sure that you appreciate people being allowed to celebrate any way they like and call any tree they want anything they want.
Well... Actually, I don't, because in this country, Christmas is a federal holiday, and I think that if you have a tree that you've put up in the month of December, it's very clearly a symbol of Christmas. To take the name Christmas off of it is almost as though you're saying, I know it's a Christmas tree, but I don't want to call it a Christmas tree because there's something about Christmas that bothers me,
which makes me
want to ask those people, what bothers you about Christmas so much you can't even say the word?
Well, I think many people can say the word, but isn't it up to private individuals what they wish to call their own holiday tree?
It is up to private individuals, but I don't know many people who say, we're putting up a holiday tree in our house. However, I do know a lot of governments that have put up trees in public squares, and when they call them holiday trees, they violate the First Amendment, because while individuals can call their tree anything they want, the government is constrained in either disparaging or encouraging religion, and you and I both know that. Right?
Well, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I think the whole thing is a bunch of phony baloney, and we've got folks who are out there fighting and dying in Iraq for this country, and that certainly seems to me to be a lot more important than this ridiculous, trumped-up war on Christmas. Although,
well,
I did hear a good comment yesterday.
What was a good comment?
I heard that the Christmas, in fact, has weapons of mass destruction, and that Santa may be colluding with Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
Yeah. So
God, that kind of funny stuff makes me think it was probably Al Franken who's that unfunny. But listen, Brad, I'm glad to have you on the program. We want to invite other people into the conversation. If you'd like to dial in, it's 866-509-5277. That's 866-509-LARS, or email to talk@LarsLarson.com. Do you know why I played that bite leading into this segment, Brad?
I couldn't even guess.
Well, I'm looking at all these headlines. When you put in a Google search, the Internet's a wonderful tool if you use it right. If you put in 30,000 Iraqi civilians dead as a search, you find all these newspaper headlines, hundreds of newspaper headlines that refer to 30,000 Iraqi civilians dead. And yet, that's not what the president said to that reporter's question.
As you said, you didn't have the complete clip there, and I didn't...
No, I just played. That was the complete clip. What all these newspapers are saying is the Bush estimated 30,000 Iraqi civilians have died. Well, the reporter said, I want to know the number of civilians, military, police, and translators who have died. Actually, there was one more category that's escaping me for whatever reason. But she asked about five distinct groups of people. And, I mean, you think there's a difference when all these newspapers are going with headlines that talk about 30,000 Iraqi civilians dead, when it's civilians, military, police, translators, and other people who are directly involved in the fighting one way or another?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the media other than I'll go ahead and criticize them myself, because we are, how many, 3 years now into this war? And my understanding is that more than 100,000 civilians have been killed. Now, George Bush says 30,000, no real clue about how many are civilians, as you suggest. But the fact that George Bush has given time and time again out-and-out incorrect information, it would be nice if the media actually did some footwork of their own and ascertained what the actual number of civilians who have been killed in Iraq over these 3 years. We haven't had any reporting on that. And
Brad, I'm amazed. I'm really amazed.
Yeah.
Because the President of the United States stands up on national television and says it's 30,000 people total, civilians, military, police, insurgents, meaning terrorists, and translators, and you say it's 100,000. Do you have a better source than the President for that 100,000?
My source comes from a study by Johns Hopkins University. I don't have the link to it that I can give to you, but my understanding is, yes, it comes from Johns Hopkins, and I know that John McLaughlin every Saturday night likes to quote from that number. Now, which one is true? I don't know. The fact that the Defense Department doesn't release that sort of information and that journalists aren't out there trying to determine it, frankly, is a scandal. And, I mean, if you can imagine 30,000, heck, even if you say half that number, 15,000 were civilians, you saw what happened when 3,000 Americans died in a country of this size. Imagine 15,000 in a country the size of Iraq. I don't think we're going to be making a lot of friends out there anytime soon.
Now, the way they figured out 100,000 was five Iraqi interviewers went to 1,000 households and did a survey and said how many people have died. That's how they came up with that number.
All right, where did you get that information?
This is quoting The Guardian, which is a left-wing newspaper out of Great Britain. The researcher led by Les Roberts of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore. Five of the six Iraqi interviewers who went to 988 households in the survey were doctors, and all involved in the research on the ground risked their lives to collect the data.
Right.
They were asked, were asked about births and deaths. So they were asked, how many people have died?
And they took a survey of 1,000 households.
Yeah.
And they were able to make a statistical analysis. It sounds legitimate to me.
Well, you know, the problem is those kind of statistical analyses usually end up wrong. There used to be a figure that there were 1.5 million kids kidnapped every year in America. They came up with that by calling police stations in major cities and saying, how many kids are missing right now? And
well,
they took that number and they extrapolated from it, and they came up with 1.5 million, a number that's been thoroughly discredited. But, I mean, do you think you can get a number of deaths by going in and surveying people in households?
You know what? I'd have to look at the methodology on how they carried it out. But you know what? Let's go ahead and agree to disagree that relying on either the President of the United States or a single statistical study is not the best way to determine these numbers, but rather it would be good if we had information on this from the Department of Defense and or we had a media out there who actually bothered to go out and try to ascertain that information.
It's interesting that Slate, which is also kind of a left-leaning publication, says the report's authors derived this figure by estimating how many Iraqis died in the 14-month period before the U.S. invasion, then conducting surveys on how many died in a similar period after the invasion, and then subtracting the difference. The difference, the number of extra deaths in the post-invasion period, signifies the war's toll. That number is 98,000, but read the passage that cites the calculation more fully. We estimate there were 98,000 extra deaths during the post-war period. Readers who are accustomed to looking at statistics know what the set of numbers in the parentheses, 95 CI 8,000 through 194,000, means. For the other 99% of you, I'll spell it out. He says it means in plain English, which the study never does, it means the authors are 95% confident that the number of war-caused deaths totaled some number between 8,000 and 194,000. Wow! Sounds like a dartboard.
Well, you know, that's good that at least we have their methodology and we can determine for ourselves. I'm not sure what George W. Bush's methodology was, where he got his numbers from, why it took three full years before he gave any figure. And I'm sure that's of interest to you and your listeners, how many Iraqi civilians
Absolutely.
Were killing.
We're talking to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to talk about Iraq, about surveys and things like that. We'll take your phone calls, your emails, your questions, and your comments. It's 17 minutes after the hour, and you've got the Lars Larson Show.
Lars at 1-866-509-LARS, 1-866-509-5277.
If we quit now, we will give the terrorists exactly what they want. We will desert Iraq's Democrats at their time of greatest need. We will embolden every enemy of liberty across the Middle East. We will destroy any chance that the people of this region have of building a future of hope and decency. And most of all, we will make America more vulnerable.
That's Condoleezza Rice, and glad to hear her words today, as well as the president's. On the phone with us right now, Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. Brad, do you want to take some phone calls from folks who are anxious to talk about what's going on in Iraq?
And I know your callers are crazy about me. I would love to talk to them.
They love, you know what? They are tolerant, like the tolerant crowd never was.
I'm sure they are.
Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska, listening on Smart Radio. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey. Good to talk to you again, Lars.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend. And Happy New Year, all the same. I don't know where this guy is coming from. Two-thirds to three-quarters of America disagree with him.
Really?
About the war. Oh, I don't know where you get your information from, sir, but you would pull up and uproot our troops and...
Well, I don't know where you get your information from. I never said anything about pulling up and uprooting our troops. Furthermore, the polls that I've seen show that it is you who are in the minority, that in fact the majority of Americans think this war was waged poorly and don't think we ought to be in the country.
Well, they think it's poorly, but when they ask Americans, do you want us to pull the troops out now, they, to a majority, do not believe
Absolutely
we should simply
not.
Cut out.
Actually, if you add the folks who say we should pull out within the next year and the folks who say we should pull out as soon as possible, then, in fact, it is a minority who feel we should pull out.
The funny thing is, Brad, and I'll bet Mark would back me up on
semantics.
This. Yeah,
not
pulling out as soon as possible is what the president wants to do. He wants to finish the job and leave.
I want our troops too, and their families and their kids, and I have three kids too, and they want their daddy home.
Well, that's,
to not finish the job is not it doesn't fit well with anybody.
I would ask Mark what the job actually is, and furthermore, it sounds like if Lars, you suggest the president is in favor of pulling them out as soon as possible,
yeah.
Then I guess you and the president both agree with Jack Murtha, it sounds like.
No, because Jack Murtha has four different positions. If you go back and look, before the vote on the war, Murtha was against going to war. Then when they actually put it to a vote of Congress in the fall of 2002, he voted for the war. Then once the war started, he actually advocated that we send more troops to the war, and today he's saying we need to pull the troops out.
I'm sorry.
He backed away from his initial position of pulling them out immediately and said, well, we should pull them out as soon as possible. Well, as I understand the president's position, you tell me if you think you've got a different read on him, is that he's saying we need to finish the job and leave. Now, that sounds to me like leave as soon as possible.
I would also ask you what the job is, but furthermore add that you characterize Murtha's position as pulling out immediately. If you read the Murtha amendment, which the GOP would not allow to come up for a vote, you see that the position that he included in his resolution is precisely what you just suggested the president was in favor of.
No, what he was talking about doing is pulling our troops back to the borders somehow, although do you really think that we could pull back? One of the borders is Iran. You think we can pull back and station some of our troops in Iran just across the border waiting for something to happen in Iraq?
Oh, I think there's,
I don't think that's gonna work.
There's Kuwait, there's Qatar, there is Turkey, there's all sorts of places, and in fact, he called for on that very day, and you have mischaracterized it, he called for pulling out the troops at the earliest practicable moment. That's
then how is that different from what the president's been proposing all along?
Well, the president hasn't said any, given any
indications
whatsoever, except that now it turns out Rumsfeld has said exactly what it is that MRSA has been calling for. So it sounds like it's a semantic political game, and unfortunately you're mischaracterizing what MRSA said to your listeners. But I would again ask, what is the job that needs to be completed?
Let's get Dave on Bangor, Maine, listening on WVOM. Dave, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I mean, excuse me. Brad's made a couple comments in the beginning of the show I think you might have missed. He claimed twice that the U.S. troops have killed over 100,000 Iraqis.
We debunked that.
I was sitting right here listening to it. He said it. He snuck it right in there on you.
No, he said it. No, he said it, and then I said, you know, where do you get that number? And he claims it's a Johns Hopkins study. That's the one where we said they did the study by going in and interviewing people, and they say they have a confidence of 95% that the number is between 8,000 dead and 194,000 dead. So that's
right.
How he gets the 100,000. It's a phony baloney number. It's like
I agree.
You know, the next Republican presidential candidate will win, will score either 4% or 90%. 6% in the next election.
Well, that's not a phony baloney number, and it's hardly been debunked. That is a scientific study, and 95%.
But we're not killing. But you missed the whole point. We're not killing civilians over there.
We're not killing civilians.
The insurgents are. We're trying to stop the insurgents.
And where do you get that information, sir?
Well, our friends over there.
Our troops don't kill non-combatants. In fact, I'll speak for Dave. We put people on trial in our military for killing non-combatants. Brad Friedman is with me from bradblog.com. Your phone calls and emails are welcome. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Be patient. 866-509-5277. Yeah, there might be 8,000 civilians dead or 200,000, somewhere in between.
Lars Larson Show.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, sir.
No, I just love that number. We're 95% confident that it's somewhere between 8,000 and 194,000.
Actually, the 95% number is a scientifically valid...
No, it's a P number. I know about stats.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I'll tell you what.
No, but do you understand what they're saying? That means there's actually a 5% chance that the number is either smaller than 8,000 or larger than 194. But to say that you have a 95% confident, it'd be like me saying, Brad, I'm 95% confident that you have somewhere in your pocket between $5 and $10,000. I'd probably be right. Am I right? Do you have somewhere between $5 and $10,000 in your pocket?
Legitimate statistical analysis use that 95% confidence rate. There's nothing unusual about that, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but when the spread is from 8,000 to 194,000, how is it you come up with 100,000?
I'll tell you,
the difference?
Exactly. Apparently, that's what they do, but I'm not going to defend their numbers because I'm not looking at their methodology, but I will do this for you. Let's say it is the lowest possible number. Mind you, that survey was about 18 months ago, I believe, but let's say it was the lowest possible number, 8,000. Do you have any idea how 8,000 civilians in Iraq as a percentage of that country compares to the 3,000 that we lost and have, you know, lost?
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. We haven't been in a full-blown countrywide war, and frankly, if we were being run by somebody like Saddam Hussein, you know, or maybe even Hillary Clinton, I might wish that we were rescued and liberated.
We haven't been in a full-blown war? I'm sorry.
Our country.
Yeah.
The real estate of our country has not been involved in a full-blown countrywide war, right? Do you see any war activities going on in your neighborhood?
Okay.
Our country is at war in Iraq. If there was a If there was a force of people that came to liberate the United States from some evil dictator who'd taken over, you would probably end up with some deaths, and some of them are going to be collateral deaths because sorting out the good guys and the bad guys is kind of hard. But, you know, would you – I mean, if you went back, the number of combatants who died in World War II was around 20 million. Do you know what the number of non-combatants who died was?
No, I don't.
40 million.
Okay. I'm not sure how that justifies
what I'm saying is,
going to war for illegitimate
purposes. So what you're saying, now the legitimacy of the war is a separate question, but you're arguing, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, that we should be able to go to war without having any civilian deaths caused.
Oh, of course I'm not saying
Then how many civilian deaths is something that's acceptable for liberating 26 or 27 million people?
Well, whether they are being liberated or not goes back to the original question about why we went to war.
In 1998...
These people obviously don't feel liberated. They want us out.
In 1998...
80% of them want us out.
Actually, there's a brand new poll from ABC News you might want to be aware of, and I will read it to you on the air. But in 1998, the United States Congress, Republicans, passed a resolution signed by President Bill Clinton called the Iraq Liberation Resolution. Are you familiar with it?
Not with the specific text of it,
it is the official position of the United States government to liberate Iraq.
Five
years after we passed that, we liberated Iraq.
That's fine. He never sent anybody to war.
But you're missing my point.
Yeah.
After Bill Clinton stopped being president, after George Bush started being president, the official position of the United States government was for the liberation of Iraq. How did you think that was going to happen but by going to war with the guy?
I don't know. The official position was to liberate the Soviet Union, and apparently we were able to do so without going to war with them.
We were in a cold war with the Soviet Union. I don't know that we sought to liberate the Soviet Union. We sought to protect ourselves in the Soviet Union. You know, and where did you see that the United States government was interested in liberating the Soviet Union?
Well, obviously, we wanted to liberate their people from
a tyrannical
government.
I've never seen that anywhere. We wanted to protect our country from the machinations of a communist country that sought our destruction.
Well, this is semantic nonsense, frankly.
No, it's not.
Sure it is, Lars. The fact of the matter is that he had a policy for regime change. If you suggest it was liberation, fine. There was a regime change.
But you wanted
policy.
It without civilian. We're back in a second. Hang on.
Lars. Lars. Lars.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, 35 minutes after the hour, and on the phone with me now, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. By the way, how's the blog going, Brad?
It's going very well. Broke a huge story today on America's favorite voting machine company, Diebold, which is now being sued in a class action fraud litigation.
What's the suit over?
And all kinds of stuff. Check it out at bradblog.com.
What's the suit over?
Manipulation of stock prices, insider trading, falsely inflated stock prices, the concealment of problems in their voting machines and equipment, a whole mess. And in fact, the CEO, Walden O'Dell, resigned yesterday with this suit imminent that I had reported late last week. And it was the new CEO is Tom Swidarski, who is also named along with eight other top officials in this really unpatriotic organization.
Well, I know that you folks, you liberal progressives, as you call yourselves, you're fascinated with this because you think there's a case to be made that the voting machines were used to somehow make a fraudulent outcome of the last election, right?
I believe that there is a very good case that something went terribly wrong, and there is mountains of evidence to suggest that, yes.
But nobody's managed to actually make a real case of that, so you follow the obscure financial dealings of the company.
No, indeed, there have been a great many folks who have made very impressive cases. Anybody who looks at it with any intellectual honesty will see that what went on is terrible. And above and beyond that, look, as I always say, it's not a matter of right or left. This is a matter of right and wrong. We ought to be able to know in our democracy while we're fighting around the country for these things, we ought to be able to know that our votes are counted accurately and
absolutely.
Correctly.
And you know, we elect officials to do that, and if they screw up, I think we should hold them accountable because they go out and hire the Diebolds and all the other companies. But it's the elected officials, Democrats or Republicans, who are in charge of making sure the system is secure. And
actually,
if it's not, the buck really stops with them.
Well, actually, quite a few of them are appointed, unfortunately, and above and beyond that, they make it very hard to get at the information needed to move forward with suits. There are, however, quite a few moving forward. Keep your eye on New Mexico. And, yeah, I'm in favor of tossing out anyone, Democrat or Republican, who is keeping us from having full transparency in our democracy and who is in favor of privatizing what ought to be our public election system.
Well, but you can't run an election system without private contractors, can you, to build the machines?
Of course you can. And
you think you could hire people who work in government? The government doesn't actually build anything.
Well, for years we have had elections that were run that way. Nonetheless,
but Brad, for years we've had
all of these matters is what is important. And
Brad,
for years
we've had elections that are run on pieces of paper put in a box and counted one by one. As soon as we went to computers, do you know of a government bureaucracy that could build a computer?
Well,
or a ballot counting machine? I mean, really?
Why are we even bothering to go to computers? But if we are going to computers,
why?
Because
it's kind of hard to count the number of votes in a city like San Francisco or Seattle or Chicago without computers.
Nah, they count 45 million ballots by hand. 24 million ballots by hand up in Canada in 45 minutes within the polls closing. They're accurate. And the bottom line is, I know that you, Lars,
I'll tell you what, Brad,
like me running around saying that we have an illegitimate president.
Brad, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If you win the lottery someday,
yes,
I'm going to call you up and congratulate you, probably hit you up for a loan. And then when you go down to the bank and they say, Brad, you won $3 million. We're going to give it to you in $1 bills. Would you like us to have somebody count that by hand, or would you like to have a machine count it out? Which would you choose?
Well, the bottom line is, at the end of that, I will have a paper trail so I can confirm for myself that, in fact, I got the right amount.
Look, I mean, if the bank counts it out by hand the way they do when you're getting $20 at the bank, that you can count on it being accurate because you can see it. But, Brad, I've had people suggest this as a comparison. If you walked into the bank and said, here, count out by hand $3 million $1 bills, that count is going to be inaccurate every single time. But if you have a machine do it, it's almost always accurate, and that's the truth when you're counting large numbers of something. That's why we count ballots that way. If you were to count ballots by hand through the hanging Chad method, you're going to end up with an inaccurate result every
time. Well, those were actually counted by machines, but I'm afraid that the Nonpartisan Governmental Accountability Office would disagree with you as far as the accuracy of these machines. And in fact, they just came out 1 month ago with a 100-plus page report confirming virtually everything that folks like me have been saying over the past year, that these machines are inaccurate, that votes have been lost, and in fact, there are nothing in place to properly account for the accuracy of these machines. And in fact, the Homeland Department of Homeland Security also agrees that these machines are simply not secure. Listen, if it meant I had to wait 2 weeks to get my $1 million rather than take a chance that I was going to get $50,000 5 minutes later, I'll go ahead and I'll wait the 2 weeks.
No, but you see, here's the thing. I don't think it's about 2 weeks later. I think you'd count them just the way Canada does, and the way they do it in 45 minutes is not by having three people at a table count them in 45 minutes. They have them all counted at 1,000 different precincts, and then they phone in the results. And if you want the potential for mischief, Brad, you just go ahead and have everybody count in different precincts and phone in the results, because it would be very easy to lose ballot boxes and everything else that way.
Well, that already happens. I have no problem with the machines, as I've said, as long as they are transparent, as long as the software is open and inspectable by anyone. That's not a problem. So they can be counted by machines, but we need a paper ballot with every vote cast. You guys don't need 8 more years of jerks like me questioning the legitimacy of your president.
Aren't you going to do that every time a Republican's elected anyway?
Absolutely not. And,
sure?
You know, I've contested elections where there's questions about whether it's Republican or Democrat. That's not the issue.
I'll tell you what, Brad.
Yeah.
your fellow progressives don't go the same way, because Washington State had an election, and they elected a man named Dino Rossi as governor. And then they said, we want it counted again. So they counted it again.
Yep.
And they counted it for Dino Rossi the second time. And then they said, we want another count, but this time we want it done by hand. And, oh, by the way, we found another box with 500 extra ballots in it in Seattle, Washington, in a warehouse. And we want those counted, too. And we want the ones from the homeless people counted.
Are you suggesting there was fraud in that case?
There was a lot. And guess who ended up as the governor? It wasn't Dino Rossi. The third go-around, it was the Democrat candidate. And strangely enough, all the extra votes that came in seemed to come from the strongest Democrat precinct in the entire state, and that was the one called King County, which
understood,
is where Seattle
is. The Republicans did not charge any fraud.
Yes, they
and
did.
The
they
judge did not find any fraud.
No, as a matter of fact, they charged fraud, and then they went to court, and here's what the judge said. Now, you understand, Brad, my ballot is secret, so is yours, right?
Right.
You don't want ballot secrecy voided, do you?
I do not.
So if you turn in a ballot, even if they could tell that it was the one you turned in, you wouldn't want the government releasing your ballot with your name on it saying, this is the way Brad voted, right?
I certainly would not.
What the judge found was not that there wasn't fraud. He found that there was, in fact, that there was fraud, but he said the standard of proof was you had to be able to say, this ballot cast by Brad was cast fraudulently. In other words, the standard of proof was that to be able to prove fraud, you had to show where the fraudulent ballots came from. And since that's illegal and unconstitutional in almost every state in America, it's impossible to prove fraud in that situation.
Well,
even if it's there.
Once again, you know I like you, Lars, so I don't mean to be rude, but I believe you are completely mischaracterizing that case. That the Republicans, in fact, did not charge fraud, and the judge so thoroughly found that there was no fraud that they didn't even bother to challenge the case out there. They had planned to move forward on appeal, but the judge just destroyed them and their so-called evidence.
Well, they destroyed them because he said the standard of proof was you have to identify where the fraudulent ballots came from, who voted those fraudulent ballots. I mean, in other words, they came up with counts where they had numbers of people voting who, you know, they had more Republican or more Democrats voting than there were Democrat votes cast, and they couldn't explain how you got more Democrat votes cast when there weren't enough Democrat voters to account for it. But they said, unless you can identify who cast those ballots, and believe me, I'm a lot closer to the case than you are, so, but let's get back to the war for a moment. What
okay.
do you think, what would you like to see happen? To settle things up in Iraq? Do you want us to stay until Iraq is capable of taking care of its own affairs?
I think that that's a question about what exactly that means, how long we're talking about. It would be nice to see a plan. It would be nice to, you know, to be told what an exit strategy actually is. You know, I talk to a lot of Iraq vets, both here and folks who are over there, as I'm sure you do, and what they would like is a you know clear picture of what the president wants and when you know when victory will be achieved. Right now, nobody really understands what victory is. And earlier, I had asked you, you were talking about completing the job. I've asked you, what is the job?
The job is to stay until Iraq is capable of managing its own affairs.
And how will we know when that occurs?
Well, I think we'll know it when they have sufficient police and military to make their to allow their country to remain secure. In other words, right now you've got a country with a bunch of terrorists running around, and by Joe Lieberman's estimate, about 10,000 of them. And Lieberman in the Wall Street Journal a week ago said, we can't abandon 27 million people to 10,000 terrorists. In fact, if that was the standard, there are 20,000 Crips members in Los Angeles. If we were to abandon Los Angeles simply because there are 20,000 gang members there that that you know go out and shoot the place up on a regular basis, we'd have been in L.A. tomorrow.
Well, I you know, again, I don't know where your numbers are coming from. The Defense Department says that I think 5 to 6% of them are
I told you where the number came from, Joe Lieberman.
For, well, 5 to 6%, according to the Defense Department, are foreign terrorists. The rest are insurgents.
I'm not talking about foreign. I'm just talking about the total number of terrorists. Joe Lieberman says there are 10,000 terrorists in that country and 27 million people.
And well, Don Rumsfeld says that our being there is, you know, one of the reasons that it's fueling the insurgency.
I don't think Don Rumsfeld said that. I think he said we're there because the we've got people there who are fighting us there, and that's a good place to get rid of some terrorists. But listen, tell me this. What would your definition of victory be?
You know, it's a good question because I'm not we went in for one reason, and we seem to be there for another. And what victory is at this point, and the reason why it's really hard to answer that question, frankly, is because what is victory? We went in there for one thing that does, for two things, actually, that completely don't exist. So I would love to know, you know, what victory actually means and how you measure that. You suggest that when they can take care of themselves,
yeah.
How do you measure that?
Well, I can, you say, look, if you go to a city and you say, do you have enough police to manage the affairs of this city? Every
yeah.
American city wrestles with that on a daily basis, and the definition is different. But if you were to say to the Iraqi government today, if we left tomorrow, could you manage things on your own? The Iraqi government has made it clear, and in fact, 52% of the people in that ABC News poll released this week say they want us to stay until they're safe. We'll come back in a moment with Brad Friedman from BradBlog. It's 13 minutes before the hour. Your calls, welcome, 866-509-5277.
If you've got a phone, you've got a voice.
Okie dokie.
Call Lars now. 1-866-509-LARS. 1-866-509-5277.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Somebody emailed in from Chugiak, Alaska, to say, regarding Brad, Canada only has 32 million people. They don't have 45 million voters. And if they had 20 million people of voting age and 75% of them voted, it'd only be 15 million votes cast.
I said 45. What I meant was 45 minutes, and I changed it as soon as I said it to something like 24 million is what they have, and it's counted within.
But they do use a precinct system, don't they? Because they can't possibly bring them all, unless it's machine counted.
And a precinct system is a great idea.
Well, but you know that. No, but hold on.
Nobody challenges
well,
legitimacy.
But
that's
you
the
know,
important thing.
But see, for well, but I got to tell you something. If you think there were shenanigans in this election, right?
I know there were shenanigans.
And you know, you think there were shenanigans in Florida. Right.
I believe there was shenanigans certainly after the election.
Okay. And the only places you didn't think there were shenanigans were the two times Clinton was elected, right?
No, I actually wasn't even bothering to look at the matter.
Oh, well, so in other words, it's only important to you when there are shenanigans if a Republican gets elected.
No, I was actually in another line of business back when Clinton was elected. I never voted for Bill Clinton. It's, you know, I didn't vote for John Kerry. None of this. You can keep trying to paint it any way you want, but
no. But I'm just saying, why is it you only care if there are shenanigans if a Republican gets elected?
Well, so far we only find massive shenanigans in cases where Republicans are elected. I looked at a film last night. The rough cut
are you
of a
kidding
film.
Me?
I am not kidding you. I looked at a rough cut last night of a film. Where case after case after case, machine after machine, in different precincts in different states, all had folks saying they tried to vote for John Kerry and that damn thing kept hopping up to George W. Bush. So far, I haven't met a single person or heard of a single person who went into a touchscreen machine, tried to vote for George Bush, and it went to John Kerry. Not one. What does that tell you, Lars?
I think there are lots of people in this country who see conspiracy theories around every corner, including those who say that, you know, the World Trade Center really didn't get hurt and blah, blah, blah.
You know, you can marginalize what I'm telling you any way you like, but the Government Accountability Office is on my side. The Department of Homeland Security is on my side. Check the facts. I only report facts. Everything I report is verifiable and confirmable. No conspiracy theories here, and for the record, I've never even said that George W. Bush stole the election. So, you know, by the way, that poll that you seem to have mischaracterized, the ABC says two-thirds of those oppose the presence of troops from the United States.
7 in 10 say their lives are going well. Two-thirds expect things to improve in the year ahead.
Two-thirds oppose the presence of troops from the U.S.
52% say the American troops should stay until they're safe.
Two-thirds oppose the presence of the troops. So, but I'm not saying I throw
right.
anybody.
We're 30 away. Hang on.
Okay.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can't see. Hey,
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. 8 minutes before the hour, and Brad is here. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Let's go to Pete, who's calling in from Massachusetts. Hey, Pete, welcome to the program. What's your question or comment for Brad?
Hey, Lars. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you,
and all
you too.
The Christian brothers around the world.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, the reason why I'm calling is this is in regards to the war on Christmas. My kids go to school in Canton, Massachusetts, third grade and fourth grade. And there's no Santa allowed. There's no Christmas tree allowed in the classroom. But then, you know, if they have Stars of David hanging around or Hanukkah stuff, you know, that's not a problem for the school.
What do you think of that, Brad?
I find it a little bit hard to believe, frankly.
Oh, really?
No, it's happening.
Why didn't you come to Canton, Massachusetts?
Well, I can't go everywhere, but I know that Bill O'Reilly reported that an entire town had outlawed the wearing of red and green, and that was revealed to be simply nonsense.
Well, but, you know, for example, today, Brad, we got an email from somebody who said there's a local children's center that deals with children who've got really tough problems that had decided not to put up a Christmas tree. So we called them, and they said, yeah, we have no plans to put up a Christmas tree. I said, you're dealing with 5 through 12-year-olds who've got depression and anxiety. Some are schizophrenic. Some have other problems. And you're not going to put up a Christmas tree. And their answer was, we have no plans to put up a Christmas tree.
Okay,
and
they have no plans to put up a Christmas tree.
Well,
I don't know if attacking someone like that who is taking care of children is
well,
really
but here's the question. If you've got kids in a residential center who are there, and most of these kids are the kids who will go back home. They're not permanently institutionalized. They're stuck in a place that they don't want to be in during this time of year, and you're going to say, don't put up a Christmas tree for them? Is that doing right by the kids?
Is it a private institution?
Yeah, it is.
But they
ask the community for their support. They want donations and everything else. And my question is, they certainly have the right to do whatever they want. They can tell the kids, no Christmas, no Hanukkah, no nothing. But I guess I'm asking you, do you think that if you had kids who had to be, you know, in your home for the holidays, in an institution for the holidays, do you think it's doing right by the kids to say, no Christmas tree?
You know, it's really not a question of whether it's doing right.
You won't answer
it,
will you?
Yes, I mean, I'm Jewish.
Are you doing well? And if there are Jewish kids there, would you say we're not going to let you celebrate Hanukkah? I mean, that's the kind of nonsense.
I wouldn't do any such thing. But again, the conservative position is to allow private individuals and private organizations to do as they please. By the way, I wanted to say, because we talked about it off air, that ABC poll that you mentioned, 2/3 of those surveyed oppose the presence of troops from the U.S. and 44%. Say their country is better off now than it was before that pull of Iraqi.
It's 5 minutes before the hour. Brad, we appreciate your time. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
Lars Larson.